Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed it into the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and rest and nest in its branches." So this parable, short parable, which comes after the long, lengthy parable of the sower and the seed, which indicates the Word of God being sown in a person's heart. But in this one, he's talking about the parable indicates the development of a Christian or a church. You can make it into a church or a Christian individually. And he wants you to know that the Christian life is progressive. That it begins as a mustard seed and then it grows and it becomes greater than all the other herbs, everything else around it. It becomes greater than everything else around it. And eventually it becomes a tree, a strong tree that is able to withstand the elements and withstand the winds and withstand the things that life might throw at it. And then it becomes a place where the birds of the air come and find rest and find a nest, a place to nest in its branches. And that is the believer's life. And of course, we know salvation is not instant. Salvation is not progressive. Salvation is instant. When a person receives Christ as their Savior, puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal destiny, then they become a Christian. And that is a done deal. But then the development of that Christian after he's saved is a progression. And he begins with very, very small. The days of the first beginning days of our Christian life were very small. We didn't know much. We didn't understand much. We were just kind of feeling our way through, reading the Bible for the first time, not understanding a lot of what it said, maybe even feeling a little bit guilty when we read certain things and felt that we couldn't live up to it and so forth. And we didn't understand the grace of God. We didn't understand that Christ did it for us and all that. So we were kind of moving through things and not understanding what applied to who and where it all fit. And it starts out as a mustard seed, and then it grows, and it becomes greater than all the other herbs around it, all the other bushes around it, and then it becomes a tree as it matures and as it grows. And then others find a place of refuge in it. And you become a person who others look to as a place of refuge, as a place of comfort, as a place to hear a word from the Lord, as a place to receive a promise or to be assured of something. You become a place people can look to and turn to in your life because of the maturity that God has placed in your life over a period of time. So God is building us up to be strong trees. He's building us up so that we can provide refuge and comfort to those around us. Then in Philippians 1:9, he says this, "I pray," and this is his prayer for the Philippian church, "that your love may abound." This is what I'm praying, that your love may increase. You have love, but I want that love to increase, and that's my prayer for you. Still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, So Paul's prayer for the Philippians was that they had a love, which they already had, but he said, I want that love to increase and abound more and more. So besides growing in grace, which is 2 Peter 3:18, besides growing in grace, we are also growing in the love of God. We are growing in our capacity to love, in our ability to love, in the kind of love that we have. And we're moving out of human love and getting into divine love. And this is, of course, by the Holy Spirit, who the fruit of the Spirit is, first and foremost, the love of God. But in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love one for another, just as we do to you. So growing and increasing and abounding in the love of God is part of the process, part of the progression in the believer's life. The first thing we learn to love as Christians, the first thing we learn to love is the Word of God. That's the first thing we learned to love when we became Christians. We learned to love the Word of God, because nothing can be known about God apart from the Word. There's no way to know God and know anything about Him specifically. I mean, we can look at the stars and the heavens and the universe and know that God exists, and we know that He's got an order to it, and we can learn things that way. But as far as the specifics of God and what He's done for us in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, and revealing His love to us on the cross, what He's done for us can only be learned because we have the Word of God. Somebody read that Word, they learned the Word, and maybe they shared the gospel message with you, but it all came from the Word. Without the Word, we're in the dark. We know nothing about this God except maybe He exists, and that's it, but we know very little about Him. We're in the dark. So the Word of God becomes the Psalm 119, verse 105, lamp unto my feet and light unto my way. Without it, I'm in the dark. I know nothing. So I learned to love the Word of God. I got saved, and then I began to, I had a hunger to find out, what about this God? Who is He, and what is He, and what does He want of me, and so forth. And then we turn to the Word. And the Word, unfortunately for some of us, when we turned to the Word, we were confronted with the letter that kills. We heard about that on Friday night in Pastor Jeff's message. But the letter that kills, in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, it's the letter that kills. It is a word without grace. It is a word which simply presents God's demands to you and puts burden on you and puts responsibility on you and weighs you down. It's a word that causes you to be introspective and look at yourself all the time and measure yourself and think about yourself and how am I doing? What am I doing? Am I doing okay? Do I need to do more? Do I need to do less? Change my life in this area or that area? That kind of a word that makes you go there is always going to, in the end, have a killer thing. It's always going to be detrimental to your Christian life, because you're always going to be looking at yourself. You're always going to be evaluating yourself. And the only way you're going to make yourself feel any better is to look at the person beside you and figure out that, well, I'm not as bad as them. You know, at least I don't do that. I mean, I've got my own sins, but, you know, they have a couple that I don't. And so I can look at them and feel good that I don't do what they do. And so that's how people live. And it's sad that they get into the letter that kills. They use the Bible. They use the Bible, and they talk about all the same stories, the same verses, the same things that you talk about, but they have an edge to it that is detrimental to their Christian life. It is graceless. It is without mercy. It is without the understanding that there is a progression involved. And what they do is they take away the progression, and they just bring in the demand, you need to be this now. You need to have all these things changed in your life now. You need to be a different person today. And so they change everything, and it becomes the letter that kills. And some of us were in those types of environments where unfortunately we were taught that, and we were beaten down with it until we were ready to scream and give it all up and say, forget this, I'll never make it. But that's the letter that kills, and you never want to use the Bible as the letter that kills. But there is another usage for the Word of God, and Paul told the Ephesians when he left them after a couple of years of ministering to them, he said in Acts 20:32, he said, I leave you unto the word of his grace. I commend you to the word of his grace. I'm leaving you to be under the word. I'm not going to be here, but I'm going to leave you under other capable preachers in the church that have been in my ministry and I've raised up and discipled, and they will preach and teach the word of his grace. So you won't be killed by the letter, but you'll be edified and built up and developed by God through the word of his grace. And so that's what he left them with. So that's the word that we learn to love. We love grace. I don't know about you, but when I was under the other letter that kills, I wasn't happy with it at all. I didn't love it. I didn't want to read it after a while. I didn't want to hear it. When the preacher would preach, I'd read it. I'd be looking somewhere else, trying to distract myself from even hearing him anymore, because it was painful. It was just painful to hear it, because what they were saying I could never live up to. What they were demanding I could never reach. The kind of self-discipline that was required in their messages I never had. So it was a killer message, you could say. But that wasn't good. But then when I got to the word of his grace and I started hearing grace and I started reading books that demonstrated the grace of God and spoke of the grace of God and had as its foundation the grace of God, I couldn't put the book down. I couldn't get enough Bible study. I couldn't get enough church. Once you found that treasure, which is another Matthew 13 parable, once you find the treasure in the field, you're willing to sell all that you have. You change all your priorities. All of your priorities change. And that word, that pearl of great price, that treasure in the field becomes so important and so valuable, and you love the word. You just love it. And you like sitting around. Somebody told me today they sat around yesterday with somebody in the church and they just talked about the Bible for hours. And they loved it because it's the word of his grace. And it's just that people hunger for it and they love it and they enjoy it. They want to talk about it. You become addicted to hearing it. It's an addiction. If you're out of church for a period of time, you start shaking. I got to get back to the body. I got to get back to my, and hear the word again, because I've just been away for so long. I've gotten, off doing my thing and having to tend to business and family and all this kind of stuff. And man, I need to get back to church. I hunger for it. I can't wait to hear the word of grace. The word of grace that builds me up and that causes me to have an amazing walk of God. Psalm 119:165 says this, great peace. Great peace is have those.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible